Now, coming up in this hour of the program, my guest, no stranger to the show, he's been on before, is Andrew Johnson. Andrew, welcome.
Hi.
Yeah, good to have you back on the program. Now, I've got an unusual one for you here this evening, because it says Wilbur Smith. Who is Wilbur Smith?
Well, yes, this is a name that probably not many people have heard of, and quite commonly he gets with the author of, I think, thriller books, Wilbur Smith. This is Wilbert Smith that I want to talk about, and sometimes he's called Wib by his friends and associates.
Ah, Wilbert. I think I put it down as Wilbur as well, so my mistake there. So who is he?
Well, I'm afraid he's... Who was he? Wilbur Smith was a Canadian radio engineer, and he was born in 1910. He died in 1962. And he basically worked in the sort of radio industry for a while before he then went on to work for the Canadian government. What I've actually done tonight is I'm basically going through a presentation which I've put together about Wilbur Smith, and people can find it at the website checktheevidence.com, and if they scroll down the home page they'll find a little panel about Wilbur Smith, which has got a bit of a top secret memo about UFOs, which we'll come to hopefully before the hour is over, and I'm going to follow through that. So depending on how far through we get the story, or how far we get through the story, then other people will be able to take up where we've left off. But basically, he was born in 1910, as I say, died in 1962. He was, one of the things he did was, because he was in radio engineering, he was involved in setting up the wartime spy monitoring network in Canada, which was used by the Canadian Secret Service people to, you know, sort of send back their reports to the government, and he was involved in setting up that radio network, which involved him working around the country. Now, the information that I'm sort of going through tonight, I must add, has been carefully put together by several very dedicated researchers. The first name that comes to mind is Grant Cameron, who runs a website called presidentialufo.com. And a lot of the Wilbur Smith material is on there too, and I've kind of, you know, distilled a percentage of it into this presentation that I've put together. And Nick Belaskis was another of the prominent researchers who's put all this material together over a period of about 25 years.
Now, this is interesting, because it's not a name that a lot of people will be familiar with, is it, Wilbur Smith? And yet, the evidence on that website, which is checktheevidence.com?
Correct.
Yeah, the evidence there is actually quite compelling, isn't it?
It is indeed. Why I switched on to this Wilbur Smith story was through the Disclosure Project. I think maybe some listeners will remember when I came on a couple of months ago, or however long ago it was, I talked about the Disclosure Project. And that's how I first came on to Wilbur Smith. And this is one of the cases which is very well documented. It's not much is known about it. And one of the things which I was pleased to find in Grant's collection was audio recordings of Wilbur Smith. So you have the advantage of being able to actually hear what he said, you know, in his own words, an original recording from dating from about 1958, I think the earliest one is. He was a contemporary of people like Frank Scully and Major Donald Kehoe, who are more familiar names. I think he did know Major Kehoe a little bit. So these were the sort of people he was involved with.
So tell us what was so important about his story and the work he was doing.
Well, as I say, he went into the Canadian government, so he ended up having access to classified information. And he was able to, you know, bring forward some information from within the government out into the public domain. And he was also involved in, as we'll come to in a short while, setting up a UFO study project, which essentially he did with his own group, with only a small amount of funding from the government. And this was called Project Magnet. But what surprised me about him, if you go into the material more deeply, is that he started off as a skeptic in around about 1950. He read an article in a UFO magazine. And he then sort of researched this for himself, you know, very diligently, and he was a very methodical person. You can tell this by the way he speaks, and many of his writings are contained on Grant Cameron's site. There's quite a few papers and articles that he wrote. You can see, it's a very structured, very methodical sort of way of writing. And this, again, also I identified with very strongly because my background is also in engineering. I'm from a software engineering background. So, you know, that really sort of lit my fuse, you know.
Now, when you got involved with the Disclosure Project, first off, was that your first encounter with the UFO area?
No. I mean, I had been interested in the UFO field since I was about 10 years old, so that's for, you know, a period of about 30 years. And when I did my A-level project for general studies, and that was in 1982 or 3, I did my general studies project on UFOs, and at that time, by coincidence, one of my teachers lived opposite Tony Dodd, who's a name that might be known to some people. He was an active UFO researcher for quite a few years. So that's how that was one of my first in-depth involvements in the field.
Now, UFOs themselves are something that have been up and down for many, many years, aren't they? Not in the real sense, if you see what I'm saying, but something that one year there's a lot of sightings, and then for a couple of years it goes completely dead and there's no sightings. But they always seem to remain there, don't they?
Well, yes, there do seem to be various localised flaps. And I think, to me, I think I might have said something of this last time, there seems to be more now a slowly increasing trend of getting more quality video clips with more clearly defined objects. I don't know how many of the listeners will have seen Jaime Massan's presentation from March last year at Laughlin, Nevada. It's on Google Video. And that has some extraordinary footage in there, very clear, very well-defined objects behaving very unusually, and not just one or two. You know, I think there's one clip which has six pulsating objects, and there's another which has got hundreds and hundreds. So we do now seem to be seeing an increase in that sort of area.
Mm.
But going back to Wilbert Smith before we come up to the break, he was a very well qualified guy. He got a master's degree in 1934 at the University of British Columbia in Canada, and he became chief engineer for the radio station CJOR in Vancouver. And then, you know, through that involvement with radio work, he started to work for the Canadian government. And in 1939, he joined the Department of Transport in the Canadian government. And that's then how he came on to get involved with this, you know, the spy monitoring network, as it were.
Okay, well, we're going to talk some more with Andrew about Wilbert Smith in a moment, and about what the evidence is that he came across and found, because it's an exciting possibility here that hasn't been brought to the fore, I don't think, on a wide scale. So we're going to talk some more about that in a moment. Now, if you've ever seen a UFO, or if you believe or don't believe in UFOs and have a strong view on them, either way, I want to hear from you tonight. studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. That's studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. And just tell me what your own experiences of UFOs have been. Have you ever encountered one? Perhaps you're an alien abductee and have a story to tell. Get it into me now, studio@nettalkradio.co.uk, and we'll speak some more with my guest Andrew Johnson about Wilbert Smith and the evidence he's found or had found right after these words. Yes, welcome back to the show. We're in the second hour, and my guest is Andrew Johnson, and you may remember he was on the show once before talking about the Disclosure Project, and he's got a keen interest in UFOs, and amongst his research he came across the website of Wilbert Smith. Now, tell us what's so important about Wilbert's work and how he got interested in UFOs.
Well, as I say, his interest started after he read a magazine article, but then he started to sort of investigate the phenomenon. And he sought out witnesses, you know, he went to interview witnesses, and he made lots of notes, and he tried to interview contactees as well, and then he had a questionnaire which he used, which I haven't been able to get hold of. I believe there is a copy somewhere in the archives. And I've actually got a lot of Wilbert Smith material which I haven't even looked at yet, which was given to me recently. But one of the key pieces of evidence which is part of the Wilbert Smith story, which I think has been referenced in a few books. It's just called The Top Secret Memo, and it was written by Wilbert Smith in 1950, and researcher Nick Balaskas discovered this in the University of Ottawa archives, and it was actually declassified by the government in 1979. And there's some very interesting things in this memo, which, as I say, was written in 1950 whilst he was superintendent of radio regulations in the government. And I'll read it in a few lines long. I made discreet inquiries through the Canadian embassy staff in Washington, who were able to obtain for me the following information. A, the most highly classified subject in the United States, rating higher even than the H-bomb. B, flying saucers exist. C, their modus operandi, which means how they work, is unknown, but concentrated effort is being made by a small group headed by Dr. Vannevar Bush. D, the entire matter is considered by the United States authorities to be of tremendous significance. So that's what Wilbert Smith wrote in 1950 in this memo.
That's quite an interesting statement, isn't it? UFOs exist, from somebody with an engineering background and as intelligent as he was.
Yeah. I mean, Wilbert, you know, this is from a guy who did quite a number of advanced courses in physics. As I say, he had a master's degree. His background was engineering. But the story goes even further than that. In this memo, there's other things as well. He says, I was further informed that the United States authorities are investigating along quite a number of lines which might possibly be related to the sources, such as mental phenomena. And I gather that they are not doing too well, since they indicated that if they get at all in geomagnetics, they would welcome a discussion with suitably accredited Canadians. So what this brings into the memo, into the picture, is that the craft which the US had got at this time, which is alluded to, and I'll mention a little bit more about that in a minute, they knew that there was some kind of mental sort of aspect to the control of these craft. In other words, you know, something like telepathy or telekinesis. And I believe there's quite a few other people have looked at this, you know, nothing to do with Wilbert Smith. And one of the questions you might ask is, well, oh, come on, that just sounds very, far-fetched. How do we verify it? Well, we can verify part of the story, because there's a guy called Dr. Robert Sarbacher, who is the actual guy who gave Wilbert Smith the information about the classification of the UFO information. And if you go onto this presentation on the website, you can hear a clip of a telephone call between Robert Sarbacher and Stanton Friedman, which I got through Grant Cameron, and I've just taken a clip out of it, where Dr. Sarbacher confirms that he did give this information to Wilbert Smith all those years ago.
Now, Stanton, of course, has been a guest on the program himself, and I know he's coming back again in a month or two's time to update us on more research. But now, the UFO that they're supposed to have, is this the one that was allegedly crashed at Roswell?
Well, that's a possibility. Robert Sarbacher alludes that there were more crashes than those at Roswell. And again, from the stuff that I've looked at, you know, you've got things like, I think there's meant to have been one in Arizona. There's meant to have been one in the sea somewhere, I think, in 1942. And I've certainly read that Roswell wasn't the first crash, but it was the first one which, you know, a lot of information leaked out about. So Robert Sarbacher doesn't directly say which crash it was, but he says that he had heard that there were some others.
Now, there has been some rumours flying around, especially on the AboveTopSecret.com conspiracy theory boards, that maybe Area 51 was in fact a crash site.
I've not heard that rumour at all. I mean, that's certainly a possibility, and it would obviously give them a good excuse for setting up a security operation there, and then maybe expanding that over time. So, you know, off the top of my head, that sounds a plausible, scenario.
Well, I think that, you know, we have to be very careful with conspiracy theories. Obviously, there's a lot of them around, and very few of them have any substance to them. And they come and go. You know, you get some that drag on and on and on, and some that just disappear. But the Roswell thing just won't go away, will it? Despite apparent evidence that the government have put out there saying that there was never a crash and it was a weather balloon and whatever. It just won't go to sleep, this story, will it?
No, Well, it won't go to sleep because there is too much evidence to say that it did indeed happen, and I'm certain that it happened. I mean, you know, and so are a lot of other people. And, you know, you can take basic things like the amount of wreckage which was shipped to Wright Field Air Base, or Wright-Patterson, I think, as it's now called. There were truckloads and truckloads of this stuff which was shipped across, and there's very good evidence that this happened. So why is that going to be a weather balloon? You know, why does the military change its story three times over? On and on and on the list goes. So I don't think of conspiracy theories. I look at the evidence all the time. That's why I call my website Check the Evidence.
And that website again, www.checktheevidence.com, and do check it out while you're listening to the show. Now, why should we believe that what Wilbert Smith said was true?
Well, if you listen to the way that he describes things, he just wouldn't make this stuff up. He explains that he was ridiculed for what he said. There's one specific lecture, I've got an audio of him, where he was saying that we should be investigating the physics by which the craft flew and fly, which he started to do, and he did actually make some progress. But nobody would take him seriously. He says, you know, if I send a letter to this university, or I send it to this government department, it just goes in the crank file, and he uses those words, the crank file. So if you look at what he actually did, he actually started to try and develop some hardware, and he also initially started what's called the Project Magnet, where he built a UFO monitoring station, and he basically managed, because he was in the government, he managed to get some radio monitoring equipment, and he set up a UFO monitoring station in Shirley Bay, which was, I think, a few miles north of Ottawa in Canada. And he set this thing running with some guys watching some pens on charts, which were looking at magnetic field variations and radio wave sort of variations. And eventually he set this up, he rigged this up to an alarm system as well.
It's interesting. I mean, the more we listen about this and the more that he got involved in it, the more you tend to take seriously what he said.
Yeah, and if you look at Project Magnet and the records about Project Magnet, they initially disclose in official documents that Project Magnet was endorsed by the Canadian government. Wilbert Smith, you know, got a small amount of funds towards it. I think it was about $300 or something. I think the figure is in there somewhere. I can't remember the exact figure. And he set up this monitoring station, which I've just described. But then, when he actually got a signal, he had this thing called a gravimeter, which measured the variation in the gravitational field. In August 1954, he actually got a signal, and it was while the sky was fogged over. So something went over the monitoring station, and the instrumentation picked it up. But of course, when they went outside to try and get a picture, it was above the clouds. And this was on August the 8th, 1954, at 3:01 p.m. after watching paper, flat lines on graph paper for 8 months. And then Project Magnet was closed down on August 10th, 1954, after the furor over what happened.
Now, again, when we look back at these sort of things, we have to look at some of the other theories that have been floating around for some time. Now, I was speaking to Terry Pratchett last week, the author, on a live show we did from the Discworld convention, and he was saying that there are many, many theories out there, most of which are just that, theories, but others just won't go away and must be taken more seriously. Now, if we look back at sci-fi's crossover with conspiracy and with things like UFOs, when Star Trek first came out, for instance, they had an awful lot of things in there, like mobile phones, which were just pure fantasy. They would never happen. They're not real. They're just sci-fi. And one of the things that they featured on there, which has been talked about a lot of late, is cloaking devices, whereby these machines are flying around us. It's just the cloaking devices have got that much better that they're not visible to the eye now.
Exactly. And we've even got, again, if we're going back to Jaime Mersan's presentation that I mentioned earlier on, there is a clip in that where somebody has taken a picture with an infrared camera, and you can see this object floating in the sky, but he's also the same guy taking a picture in ordinary light, and you can't see the object. So this seems to be some type of cloaking device which has been captured on video.
That's interesting. I'd like to see those photos at some point. Are they available on a website?
Well, I haven't got a link on Check the Evidence, I don't think, but I can send it in, and you can post it on the forum.
Yeah, that would be great if you could do that. It'd be fantastic. Now, again, I'm going to ask my audience here to get involved with this. Have you ever seen a UFO? Have you had an encounter of any kind, first, second or third kind encounter? Let me know, studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. Let's get those emails coming in on the subject of UFOs. Now, just quickly before the break, we've got about a minute and a half before the break. Apparently he died of brain cancer, Wilbert Smith, is that right?
No, it wasn't brain cancer. This is a common misconception. And again, I've got an audio clip of his son on the presentation. Wilbert Smith died of cancer of the lower bowel, not of brain cancer.
Why did they get that wrong?
Well, there is, I think, again, it's possibly a piece of misinformation in that if he had brain cancer, then obviously there was something wrong with his brain. Therefore, the things that he described, were just fantasy.
Oh, I see. So it was a case of a cover-up more than anything.
Well, I think it's just a misdirection rather than an actual cover-up.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Okay, my guest is Andrew Johnson. We're going to be talking some more to him in just a moment. He's talking about Wilbert Smith, who's uncovered what appears to be some very, very strong evidence for the existence of UFOs. Now, if you're a believer in UFOs, I want to hear from you. studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. If you've ever had an encounter with a UFO, perhaps you're an alien abductee and believe you've been abducted, we'd like to know. We'd like to hear from you now. studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. And you can find out more about what Andrew's been talking about this evening on his website, checktheevidence.com. That's www.checktheevidence.com. Then do check that out and have a listen through some of the audio files on there. It's compelling evidence, it really is, and it's something that I would recommend that all my listeners check out before the end of this hour. We'll be back talking some more with Andrew Johnson, my guest, right after these words.
Dick, have fun quail hunting. Don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh, God, this phone's never going to stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show. Now that's weird. I spend my evenings on the Above Top Secret Forum, making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo, if you could bring me up to speed on...
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Yes, welcome back. We're in the second hour of Now That's Weird. My guest is Andrew Johnson, and we're talking about the evidence that seems to, I wouldn't say prove, but certainly show strong signs that UFOs are very real. Now, Andrew, what sort of legacy has Wilbert Smith left behind?
Well, I'm just going to put a note up on the website that people may want to contact me, because fortunately, thanks to Grant Cameron and the other people I mentioned, they can have a copy of his legacy, which is thousands of pages of his letters and documents. We've got probably 2 or 3 hours of audio of him. People really can sort of really get into this material and spend as much time as they want analysing it and decide for themselves, what the kind of validity of it is. You know, I've made my own decision, which is why I'm, on the programme tonight. There is a very good legacy of information, which is really, I describe it as a treasure trove of information, really.
Well, next week on the show at 11 o'clock in the final hour, we've got Andy Lloyd joining us, who's one of the foremost UFO investigators in the UK, and he said he's got some stunning new evidence to put forward, so I can't wait to hear that as well. Have you come across Andy in your travels?
I've corresponded with Andy a couple of times, because he knows my friend Lloyd Pye. I email Lloyd Pye very regularly. Andy spent some time with Lloyd, and so have I. So we've got the Lloyds, in common there, as it were.
He's a four really at the forefront of current sightings, isn't he?
Well, I don't know about Andy Lloyd, because I haven't corresponded with him recently, but.
Yeah, he certainly seems to have a lot of evidence, and he's going to be talking to us next week in the show. Now, just coming back to this for a second, obviously your own research is getting bigger and bigger by the week, I know. How did you feel when you started to realise that these things actually do exist, and then they're not just something out of science fiction?
Well, I'd had suspicions for a long time, but coming across the Disclosure Project really kind of changed my attitude in terms of... having to try and get the information out to a wider group of people than it's normally available to. So, I just try to go out and give talks I don't charge any money for them. I usually ask for a contribution to cover petrol and things like that. But, you know, I will just go out and talk about Wilbert Smith or Disclosure Project to anyone who's interested and anyone that's in the local area who's easy to get to. You know, and I've done that. I think I've done a couple of conferences now when I've been asked to speak. So, you know, that's quite flattering when somebody asks you to come and speak. So I'm just trying to get the information out, you know.
Well, I think there should be more opportunities for us to get out there and tell our stories, because, as you know, I've got a book coming out which is also going to make some very, very new claims with regards to some of the paranormal, things that people might not have heard before, but that would probably make them change their views on some of the situations. So perhaps we should all get together, yourself, me, Andy Lloyd, perhaps Phil Gardner and a few of the others, and take a tour around the country and do a few theatres.
Who knows? Yeah, maybe that would be a good idea, and yeah, that would certainly allow us to sort of bring some information forward and just get people to think about it more.
I think so. I think it's something that really does need to be brought out to the public at large, and so that people can hear the story. We're trying to do as much as we can on the radio show here, but obviously we're limited to people that know about the show, but getting out there into the town centres, into these theatres, I think there is evidence that we can't get through the normal media. We're being shut down through television and normal radio, and it's very difficult to get the truth out there, and I'm sure there are forces that don't want that truth out there.
Well, I totally agree with you on that, because, you know, on the face of it, if you stop for a moment and you decide, yes, you know, these craft are coming from somewhere else, then, you know, what's the power system? So if we know there's some kind of advanced power system, then maybe we could utilise it, which would then, you know, shut down all the oil industry, which, of course, is what Stephen Greer and Disclosure Project kind of, you know, identify with.
Yeah, I agree. Now, if there were three things that convinced you UFOs exist, like three major pieces of evidence, tell us what they would be.
Well, one of the key pieces of evidence to me is Gordon Cooper's testimony, which was in Out of the Blue, a 2003 documentary, where he describes that he actually filmed an object landing on three legs at Edwards Air Force Base in 1955, and in a short segment, only a minute long, he says he filmed this object landing with his team, and they then got the film developed. He held it up to the light to check the film had come out, and it had, and then it was taken to Washington, and he never saw it again. So that, I think, is a very good piece of evidence. We've got a very reliable witness from the military. He filmed the encounter, and he's prepared to go on the record, you know, not too long before his death to say that this actually happened. So that's got to be one. Wilbert Smith would certainly be very high up because of some of the things which I'll hopefully get a chance to mention, you know, before the end of the hour. And again, some of the other Disclosure Project witness testimony, like Captain Salas' testimony about the nuclear missiles being deactivated by the craft, that I think is very strong evidence. He's no reason to make that story up.
No, I agree. And we're going to come back to this, and we are going to talk some more about Wilbert Smith, after the next break. But I'd just like to say very quickly, before we run into the break, that Nick Pope was on the show a little while ago, who was the British UFO Files officer, and if you like, our own X-Files man here in the UK, and he said that he would not rule out the possibility of an alien invasion. And the Reverend Lionel Fanthorpe, who's no fool himself, a very intelligent man, said that he believes there's more chance of an alien invasion than there is of disaster through global warming. So certainly people out there are worried by this, especially the fact that most of these UFOs are being sighted above military establishments, which in itself is pretty worrying. We're going to talk some more about UFOs with Andrew Johnson and about Wilbur Smith right after this break. You're listening to Ross Hemsworth. This is Now That's Weird. Yeah. I believe Ozzy is a regular listener to the show. Yes, there you go. And I was told a little while ago that I've actually got quite a few celebrities who tune into this show, people that are curious about the unknown. So it'd be nice to know who you are, guys. I will keep it confidential, but do drop me a line. Just let me know you're listening. studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. And apparently we've even got a listener from Rome tuning in this evening, so perhaps the Pope himself's keeping an eye on us, as we've been slagging off the Catholics for a while now, so he might have got to hear. There you go. Right, my guest this evening in this hour of the programme is Andrew Johnson, and you may remember him from the Disclosure Project a while back. He's talking tonight about the evidence that is proving beyond doubt, he believes, UFOs really exist. Now tell us a little bit more about the actual evidence that Wilbur Smith had.
Well, just mention briefly about the Project Magnet, which was the UFO monitoring station. A report was issued about Project Magnet, which wasn't declassified until 1979. And based on a strict statistical analysis, Smith decided that there was a 91% probability that the objects were real, the ones that he picked up, and also the witness testimony that he'd gathered about the objects and the way they behaved in the sky and such like this. And that there was a 60% probability that there were alien vehicles. This report sat on the Prime Minister's desk for 3 months, and in 1959, Smith wrote to a man who was tempted to get a copy of the Project Magnet report, and he said, "You'll recall last March that I didn't think you had the proverbial snowball's chance of frying it loose. And the key point here in this, what Smith says, is that no minister in his right mind is going to release any report which in any way might prove embarrassing or give rise to questions which he or his colleagues might find difficult to answer." So he knew, you know, the politics which went on with these sorts of matters.
Mm, that's quite amazing, isn't it?
The other thing which is a very story in the Smith story involves the orbit of two artificial satellites which came into orbit around the Earth in 1953. Now, in the presentation, I've got two stories, from one from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the other from the San Francisco Examiner. All this has come from Grant Cameron's archive, by the way. And it says, artificial satellites are circling the Earth. And this is in 1954. So this was, of course, 3 years before Sputnik. Now, this particular story involves a lady called Frances Swan. Now, she was a psychic who claimed to be in touch with the occupants of these satellites, and she described that they were in orbit at a certain distance from the Earth. And how could she know this? There was no way she could possibly know this. But she was got in touch, I think through Wilbert Smith, with Vice Admiral Knowles, who was in the organisation he was in. He was either in the Navy. I guess he must have been in the Navy if he was an admiral, not a military expert. But basically, he went to see this Frances Swan, and he asked her quite a few technical questions, which she shouldn't have known the answer to, but she did. And Frances Swan was investigated by the FBI. And this is where this Wilbert Smith story starts to get extremely strange, because Frances Swan claimed to be in contact with an ET called AFA, and she had these long conversations with AFA, and she passed on information to Wilbert Smith, and Wilbert Smith asked questions and got information back from AFA. And this whole story runs over a couple of years with some very strange things, like they were trying to build an anti-gravity experiment, and apparently they were setting up some equipment which was going to rotate at high speed, about 16,000 revolutions per minute. And there was this instance of a blind telex operator getting a message from AFA remotely, and he sent this information to Wilbert Smith, and he told Wilbert Smith to shield the anti-gravity experiment for the next run. Mm. And they had to do this because it was going to explode. That was the warning. And so they did. They shielded the experiment, and then It exploded on the next run, and their lives were saved.
That's interesting. Now, while you were talking there, Penny's just passed me a link to Grant Cameron's site, or one of them, www.presidentialufo.com, which is extremely interesting. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
There's some amazing stuff on there, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Grant's done some incredible research. Grant's one of the unknowns. He's not written any books. He's just got his website. I say he's not written any books. He has written one book, but it was never published. The publisher refused to publish it. I worked with him on making that into a CD. That was a couple of years ago. But yeah, there's an awful lot of information about the presidential knowledge of UFOs. And Grant has actually been into the archives and dug out all the memos and all kinds of things. Mm. And it's really worth checking that site out, because there's a lot of high-quality information on there, which has come out of the National Archives and all kinds of places.
Indeed. Well, we're coming up to another break, but just before we do, I want to quote one paragraph from presidentialufo.com about Wilbert Smith, and it says, I make no, this is something that he said with regards to Project Magnet. I make no attempt to prove anything and have no intention of doing so. It is up to each and every one to search out the truth and decide for themselves just what is truth. Truth needs no justification. It stands alone. And that's the words of Wilbert Smith, who we're talking about here on the programme at the moment with my guest Andrew Johnson. And we'll be back talking some more with Andrew right after the break. You're listening to Now That's Weird. We're in the second hour of the show. Don't forget, coming up in the third hour, Mark Russell Bell.
Weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Shaggy says he smells something weird. Well, what can be weirder than this? Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth, and my producer, Penny Dando, sitting here working her fingers away at the bone at the moment, looking for research on the stuff that we are talking about now. UFOs, do they really exist? My guest certainly thinks so. Andrew, welcome back to the programme. Now, if you can, just fill us in on these final few points that you think will convince people 100% UFOs definitely exist.
Well, I think that's a journey which each person must make for themselves. What we'll say about Wilbert Smith, though, is he became more and more convinced as he looked at the evidence and was given evidence. As I mentioned, we talked about this ET called EFA, which he got in touch with through Francis Swan. He was then later given other information about how to build certain items of hardware, and you'll hear him describe quite particularly in the presentation that he said, you know, we've been given information about this hardware, they've told us how to build it, I've built it, and it works. So that, for me, is proof that these people are real, they are what they say they are, the technology is what they say it is, and it is superior to ours. And he built a gravity control experiment, which he proved that it worked. It was only a small effect, about 1% reduction in weight. But he knew this. He was a scientist, an experimental scientist. He studied physics, he was an engineer. He built a gravity control experiment using the information he was given. He also built a free energy circuit, which was designed to extract energy from the Earth's magnetic field. So he was looking at free energy type technologies. He also built something called, you can see this in the presentation, a binding meter, which he used to measure binding forces, which are not a topic which is discussed in physics. But you can hear his description of that if you go through the presentation on the website.
Mm.
He built a special type of coil as well for absorbing radio energy, which had some extremely strange properties. So he built things, and he tested them in the laboratory, which of course is what scientists do, and he proved that they worked.
Mm, that's quite amazing, isn't it? Now, there's so much more we could be talking about, Andrew, but unfortunately time's beaten us to it, as it often does. Just give us the website address again, where people can find out more about the work you're doing.
www.checktheevidence.com, and the Wilbert Smith thing is on the front page, you scroll down for it. The final thing I'd say is check the story of the alien bodies, which is verified by his son.
That's absolutely amazing, and I think we need to get you back on here on a fairly regular basis to update us on this research, because I know you're continuing from week to week and finding more and more out. So perhaps you'll keep us in touch with what's happening, and we can get you back on again when there's some more information.
By all means, yes, I'd love to.
That's fantastic. It's been a delight talking to you, Andrew. Always is. And let's see if we can maybe give some thought to that theatre tour. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. We'll speak soon, and thank you for being my guest tonight on Now That's Weird. Cheers now. Bye bye.